Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Ah, Ben Crenshaw, are you watching, of course you're watching the Open Championship at Hoylake. Back in 2006, Tiger Woods won that tournament using just his irons. You can kind of understand why. Hey, good morning. This is the Golf Club, and we're going to have a mostly cloudy day with occasional showers this afternoon. Partly cloudy skies, scattered showers afternoon, partly cloudy skies, or mostly cloudy in the morning with some occasional showers as well. So it's going to rain. It's going to be sunnier in the morning than in the afternoon. All right. We're going to have some trade winds, locally breezy, 10 to 25 miles per hour. So you're going to be playing your wind game today. Of course, you're going to want to get out and play a round of golf. And yes, we've got some tee times for you. Volcano, it's 58 degrees, so you'll need a jacket. There's a 9:28. Makale has a 10:18. Poipu has an 11 o'clock. And we've got a Kauai Lagoons, a 9:18 and a 10:10. Hawaii Kai, 8:58, 11 o'clock. Raw Hawaiian Country Club, 10:10, 11:28. Eva Beach Golf Course has a 9:18. Wailea Gold, an 8:34. Emerald, 11 o'clock. On the blue course is the Hale Makua tournament. And Maui Nui, there's a 9:18 if you'd like to play around there. I've got a great show for you. We've got Mark Rolfing kicking off the show, Lewin Mayer and Bob Herrig calling in from the Open, Diana DeLucia updating the Golf Kitchen, and Ryan French, writer and creator, Monday Q Info with us as well. We'll be back after this with Mark Rolfing.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors: MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe cleanup, 24/7 licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPac Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, member of Hawaii's Golf Hall of Fame. Well, Tiger Woods in 2006 played Hoylake, Royal Liverpool, irons only, and won. It was an incredible watch. I mean, I was just like, Mark Rolfing, welcome into the clubhouse.
Well, good morning, Danielle. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I remember watching Tiger in 2006, and the golf course was firm, it was fast, and you just absolutely, no matter what, had to keep it out of the pot bunkers. You still have to keep it out of the pot bunkers. But with the softness of the golf course because of the rain and with the lack of wind, we're seeing the players play quite a bit more aggressive today. And the scoring average shows that it's almost it's more than two full shots lower than the first two rounds.
Wow. See, there you go. Now, I was watching Christo Lambrecht kind of going, wow, look at this. What is he, 6'7", an amateur, shot a 66 on day one. And leading this tournament, were you amazed?
I was amazed. And, you know, it really pointed out to me a discrepancy, another one in the rules of golf. You know how I feel about the rules. We really need to change some of the rules of golf. But this poor guy, when the USGA instituted a 46-inch length maximum for driver, it really took away his game. 46 inches is plenty long for Brian Harman. But if you're 6'8", and you can't swing a driver that's longer than 46, you have to create a new kind of swing. And that's what he had to do. That's why he's got this big dip in his swing, because he can't get a driver that's long enough. There's something wrong with that.
There is. I didn't know that. Wow. That's wrong. I mean, the idea of having to bend over, or as you say, in his case, he makes this big dip because it would just be too much on the spine. This is Hoylake. Everybody says Hoylake, but it's being played at the Royal Liverpool Golf Club at Hoylake. Am I getting that straight?
Yeah, you're getting that right. You know, it's actually about 8 miles outside Liverpool, and it's in a stretch of golf in western England that is really good. There's about 10 links courses along here, including Royal Birkdale, Formby Hillside. There's some really, really good courses. Not my favorite place in all of Great Britain. I like the golf in Scotland a little bit better, but it was good for me when the Golf Channel said, hey, would you rather stay in Montana and then go to Minneapolis and work next week? I said, absolutely. So I'm a fan this week like everybody else.
That's wonderful. So this is the 151st playing of the Open. The third round's been underway for hours. A leader, as you mentioned, Brian Harman. He teed off about the same time John Rahm finished, right? That was it's interesting. And he made a history-making 63. Was he wowing us or what, coming up the leaderboard?
Yeah, he really was. In fact, John Rahm said after his round it was the greatest round of golf he had ever played on a links course. The scoring conditions were beautiful early in the morning, and he took advantage of it. And I think it put a little jolt into Brian Harman because Harman didn't play very well at the beginning of the round. He's come back nicely now. But Rahm is back in the conversation. Harman's got 7 more holes. If he could get in at 10 under par, I think he would be doing just fine.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the guys that are not doing just fine, and if you haven't been able to follow, you know, you've been working. Some of the guys who missed the cut: Keegan Bradley, Colin Morikawa, Sahith Theegala, Joaquin Niemann, Harris English, Tony Finau, Justin Rose, Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, and Ernie Els. Justin Thomas, this must be really, really difficult, a difficult stretch of golf for him. He's taking it really good.
Yeah, he is, but I'll tell you, the guy's in trouble. He doesn't know where his game is at all right now. We just found out that having missed the cut, he did enter the 3M Championship in Minneapolis this upcoming week. And the main reason he did is because he is on the outside looking in at the U.S. Ryder Cup team right now. So if you can imagine, both Thomas and Finau are well outside of qualifying for the Ryder Cup. And in fact, Justin Thomas has played so poorly, he might not even make the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Wow. I didn't realize. We do work. This was an interesting quote I found. I'm sick of playing lousy. I've just been going through the motions for 2 years. 2 years. First, it irritates you. Then it really bothers you. Until finally, you so damn blasted mad at yourself that you decide to do something about it. And that was Jack Nicklaus during his slump. You think Justin Thomas feels that way, huh?
Oh, I do. And I've got a conspiracy about him, a conspiracy theory that people haven't talked about. But Justin Thomas gave up eating pizza for a year. He gave up eating pizza. Now, who doesn't love to eat pizza? I can't think of hardly anybody. And I know he loved it as much as anybody. But he gave up eating pizza, and he hasn't played worth a darn since. I think what he needs to do is go back and have a big old pizza.
Oh, why would he give up pizza? I mean, he works out. He's in great shape. Why? Did he have a reason?
It's some sort of a knee-jerk thing to a health situation. Mm-hmm. I think it was preventative more than anything, but I was kind of joking in a way. But he really is grasping at those kind of straws. He cannot figure out what's going wrong right now.
And that's that, you know, in case, you know, you're a golfer right now and you don't know, you know, what's going on with your game, that's golf. And it's, unfortunately, a lot of people walk away from the game, and sometimes it just takes somebody to take a look at you, you know, getting a professional opinion, like going to your PGA professional and saying, hey, you know, I was playing pretty good, not great, but now I just can't even hit the ball.
And yeah, but look, think of this, Danielle. Here's the dilemma for Justin Thomas, and I think this is particularly difficult for him. The only teacher he has ever had in his entire life is his dad. And if you look at guys like even Ricky Fowler, who had to go through a deep valley when he changed teachers, and then he went back and had Butch Harmon looking at him again, and Butch solved the problem. But how is Justin Thomas ever going to say to his dad, "Dad, I'm going to go to a different coach and have a different guy look at me"? He's in a tough spot there.
Oh, yeah, but dad should know better than, yeah, I get it, going to dad and saying, you know, I need somebody's second opinion. He should understand that his son is hurting. And
yeah, he may, you know, I haven't talked to his dad, so I don't know. I know he's dad. He might suggest that, but you're right. I think Justin Thomas needs a new set of eyes.
Okay. Okay. I was curious. I mean, you've played competitively, Mark. You've got a lead. What is it like to walk back onto a golf course that gave you a 5-stroke lead and face the course again? I mean, you're playing against the golf course. So now you face Saturday going into Sunday. What's that like?
Yeah, there's two dangers. It's very difficult playing a course where you got a 5-shot lead, because if all of a sudden you've only got a 3-shot lead like Harmon did, he's thinking to himself, you know, I'm in trouble now. The other thing is you can't look ahead. You don't want to look ahead and start thinking about what it would be like to win the Claret Jug. So more than any other style golf, I think links golf requires you to stay in the moment. And the reason it requires that is so many bad things can happen to you. You can get crazy bounces and horrible lies in bunkers and all sorts of stuff. But you just literally have to, you know, it's the old axiom, one shot at a time. You can't look behind. You can't look ahead.
Yeah, one shot at a time. Very good. Now, do we have a bunker gate? You know, you bring up bunkers, and apparently the players were displeased with Royal Liverpool bunkers, and the RNA responded by making an adjustment yesterday, second round, and I don't know, some of the guys were upset.
Yeah, well, that's because guys don't think bunkers ought to be hazards. You know, we spoil them so much in America in particular, where if you hit the ball into the sand, you're much better off than being in the rough, and it's automatic that they're going to get it up and down out of a beautiful lie in nice, smooth sand in a bunker. But that's not what bunkers were intended to do. They were intended to create problems if you get in there, and I like it myself. I mean, maybe it was a little too severe. What they did was they raked up the sand on the lip of the bunker so the ball could actually roll back down to the flat a little bit more, but for crying out loud, bunkers should be hazards. You might as well put some red lines around these bunkers at Hoylake, because if you hit in there, it's like going into a penalty area.
Well, I guess, as you said, you know, that's what they were originally intended to be. Someplace that you wanted to stay out of completely, which is why Tiger Woods used his irons in 2006. He knew he could not go into the bunkers. Wasn't that part of it?
That was absolutely part of it. Played a very methodical game. But there's no need to do that today. The scoring conditions are perfect out there right now, and we're seeing a lot of drivers. And it's kind of a different Open Championship, there's no question. But still, you know, it shows me just how important this championship is when I take a look at the top players and some of the poor performances we've seen. This literally, in my mind, has become the Open, the most important golf tournament in the world.
I agree with you. Absolutely. But the wind shifted. I thought that would make it more difficult for them. Like Mary Poppins, the nice course took off. You know, it was very nice to John Rahm, and then everything changed and the rain came. And that must be difficult to adjust to.
I think it is. But, you know, again, the wind isn't blowing with any real velocity. I'm looking at the flags on top of the grandstand right now. It looks like a 5-mile-an-hour wind. Only Lynx Golf needs some wind, and I hope for tomorrow's final round we see something into the 10 to 15 mile an hour range. Brian Harmon got exactly what he wanted here, Danielle. Had it been a really difficult day, holding on to that 5-shot lead would have been much harder for him than it is in these conditions.
Yeah, he's 11 under. You know, I was worried about him because when he started the third round, things were a little, you know, shaky, kind of, I guess. You know, that's when I thought about, what is it like when you've got this huge lead and you step onto the, you know, it's your Saturday and you've got to make a good showing, as it were, going in. Brian Harman, how tall is he?
Oh, I don't know, 5'7", I guess, although that may be a stretch. I think he's listed at 5'7". But, you know, what's ironic about this open is on the opening day, you had the tallest man in the field at 6'8", leading, and then the second day, you had the shortest man in the field leading.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it just shows there's a lot of different ways to play golf, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And has he ever been in this position before in a major championship?
No, he has not. This is the most important round of his life. He did play well at the U.S. Open, but, you know, he's been on a pretty bad streak to start 2023. The last few tournaments, he's played better. But he's got more top 10 finishes in, like, the last 6 years than any other player on the PGA Tour without having won a tournament. So he gets himself into contention quite a bit. Doesn't win as much as he probably should. And I believe this is the most important round of golf of his life today.
Okay. Yeah, and you can watch it on NBC right now until 9 o'clock this morning. And then I suppose it shifts over. Is it USA Today or do they go to Peacock?
No, NBC is going to take it to the end.
Oh, great. Awesome. All right, so you can watch it on NBC until 9. I saw it on the program guide, so you've got lots of time to watch this final third round. So we've got Brian Harman, John Rahm. He's up there, but he's finished, so it's not like he's in a second place, but technically tied with Cameron Young, who is, he's doing really well, and Jason Day is doing really well, also 6 under. Are you surprised to see them at the top of the leaderboard?
No, I'm not. Jason Day's up there because he's got such a great short game. He really is very, very good around the greens. The guy that I've got my eye on now, though, is Victor Hovland. I had picked Tommy Fleetwood at the beginning of the week, and I shouldn't bail on him, but I don't like the way he has looked the last hour. He's hitting the ball all over Western England right now, so I'm kind of looking at Hovland. It's going to be hard. If you're 5 shots behind, you're going to have a tall task, and that's what John Rahm is right now, and that's why John Rahm's going to be rooting for a really tough day tomorrow.
Okay. Well, Tommy Fleetwood is at home, Liverpool, right? So, I mean, the crowds are like crazy for him. That can't be a really comfortable position to be in when you're not doing well. I think he asked for more shouting, you know, cheer me more tomorrow.
Yeah, well, he's got to deliver some really good shots. I would say the next hour is really important for Fleetwood. He can still get back in it, but he needs to make a couple birdies coming into the house.
Fantastic. It's so good talking with you. Anything else on your mind that we didn't cover?
No, I am all set, getting ready to get warmed up for the FedEx Cup playoffs. I'll be back in Hawaii for a couple weeks after Minneapolis next week, and we'll talk again before the playoffs.
Did you say FedEx Cup playoffs?
Yes.
Is it already that time of the year? My
Can
goodness.
You believe it's almost August? School starts out there in about 8 days?
Yeah, it seems like that. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us this morning with me. Thank you.
Thanks, Daniel.
Aloha. Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports. And joining us from Hoy Lake, Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post, with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Ivele. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Of the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Thank you, and let's bring her into the clubhouse. Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post, senior European writer. Welcome into the clubhouse, Lewin.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's very good of you. It's very exciting here. It's also, we've had, you know, bad weather as well as good. It's tough. It really is tough, and it's exciting. And I wanted to see Fleetwood winning, and I think the friend you were just talking to has got it about right. He's not been looking very good for the last sort of hour or so. He's not playing as he has been. And I thought, I must say, yesterday he was looking a bit anxious, and I wondered if it was, you know, he's got such support and he was quite sort of tense and excited about it all, but then, you know, the bad shots have crept in today and he's looking probably more anxious still.
I don't blame him. I mean, he's got the entire region, you know, I mean, if not the entire, you know, everybody in the UK wants the, you know, the homeboy to be the winner. And Tommy Fleetwood is such a charismatic person. He's just, there's something about him that draws you in. He's got a way about him. So when he uses that happy-go-luckiness that probably isn't inside, but nevertheless seems to be him, I think that's when his best golf is played. And I just want him to relax. You know what I'm saying? Unlike,
Yes,
unlike Shane Lowry, why did he really snap his club?
Well, oh dear, did he really? I didn't see that, but I'm sorry if he did, but he couldn't be nicer.
Great guy, doesn't like his club.
No, fair enough. I mean, he's an absolutely lovely guy, and you know, I forgive them for that kind of thing in the spur of the moment, because he's not a bad-tempered person, I promise you. He's lovely.
I didn't think so. Golf just has something, you know, when, especially when you're in something like the 151st playing of the Open, you know, it's at Hoylake, and it's a challenging golf course. Tell us about the bunkers and the way they've changed them just a little bit. Someone, you know, was saying online that it's kind of like a bunker gate, as it were, with the way the challenges from some of the golfers said, you shouldn't have done that. You changed them overnight from Thursday to Friday. What's up with that? Because after all, the, you know, that's not really, really fair. And I think they came, I felt like at St. George's, a lot of the bunkers had a tiny bit of an upslope before you got to the wall face. And here it seems like the faces of every bunker is almost a downslope going towards it. That's how Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, after the first round said, when you hit it into these bunkers, you're sort of riding your luck at that point and hoping it's not up against one of those reveted faces, you know. And then as far as the RNA, yesterday afternoon the bunkers dried out more than we had seen in recent weeks, and that led to more balls running straight up against the face than we would normally expect. We have therefore raked all the bunkers differently to take the sand up one revet on the face of the bunkers. Am I saying, is that revet or is revet? We routinely rake bunkers flat at most open revenues, but decided this adjustment was appropriate in light of the drier conditions which arose yesterday. We will continue to monitor this closely for the remainder of the championship. There, we have the official statement. Your thoughts?
Hello, you've got me back now. Do you realize that? I don't know what happened.
Oh my goodness. We lost you for a moment. Oh, then you didn't hear me talking about Rory McIlroy's reaction to the bunkers. When you hit him into the bunkers, you're sort of riding your luck at that point, hoping it's not up against one of the revetted faces. Scottie Scheffler was upset. I feel like at St. George's, a lot of the bunkers had a tiny bit of an upslope before you got to the wall face, and here it seems like the faces of every bunker is almost downslope. And Royal and Ancient said yesterday afternoon the bunkers dried out more than we had seen in recent weeks, and that led to more balls running straight up against the face than we'd normally expect. We have therefore raked all the bunkers differently. Have you talked with anybody about the bunkers?
Well, I think they're all, you know, I mean, you only have to look at them. I mean, they're terrifying to look at because how do you hit or something? You know, you would need a sort of steep ladder to get out of them. And so the thought of, you know, having to get a ball to go over them, you know, in that little space, it's just got to go right upright. And it's such a tough shot that they've been playing. Some, you know, we've seen some wonderful bunker shots.
Yeah.
We really have.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful, difficult golf course. I enjoy the look because it's so different than anything else we see. So it's a lot of fun. Some of the guys, for instance, Cam Smith made the cut, but he had to eagle the 18th to do it, and he managed to do it. Is that amazing?
No, it is amazing. I think there's been a couple of we've had a couple of eagles at the last, and my goodness, what a difference that can make to finish off. You know, pick up two shots at the end, and you know, you're feeling a whole lot better about the next day if you can get on a high like that. But I'll tell you a very interesting thing is, and I think my maths isn't good, but I think there are about 13 different nationalities in the first 15 players, or the world, when I last looked. And, you know, I was just going back to 1860, the first Open, there were eight players, seven of them Scottish and one of them English. And now they just come from everywhere. And it's, you know, you just sort of look, that's Japan, Korea, Austria. We've very seldom had golfers from there, but they're getting very good in their own different ways. And I think possibly the Americans haven't been, you know, they haven't liked to recognize that all this is happening around the world. And, you know, they're probably beginning to get a bit of a shock by just how good these players are.
Yeah.
And they're only going to get better.
You're absolutely right. And it was really, I think it must have been the equipment manufacturers and the people who are in the business of golf that said we need to globalize the game of golf. What was that, 20 years ago or a little bit longer than that? And that there was a real push to get golf everywhere. I mean, right now in Uganda, there is a school for kids. And of course, it's difficult to get equipment because it's so expensive. But there's a man who is dedicated to getting the kids into the game of golf because, you know, it'll help them in the future. It opens doors that wouldn't normally open for a child being raised in Uganda. So it's just interesting to see, as you said, Antoine Rosner, Shubhankar Sharma. You know, I'm just reading a couple of Nikolai Hojdjart. It's just interesting to see all these different countries represented. Thomas Detry is, and they didn't play a lot of golf 20 years ago, and now they're all out here and they're competing and giving everybody a really tough time. I'm thrilled that Ricky Fowler is having such a great run. He shot a 72, a 73, 67. He's up to tied for 22nd. And, of course, there's still people on the golf course. Patrick Cantlay is there with him, Xander Schauffele, Cameron Smith. So a lot of Americans are right there trying to get up into the higher echelon where Brian Harman is, you know, another American, and John Rahm, the Spaniard with his 63. Were you following him then?
I have followed John Rahm a bit, and I've followed, it's difficult to know who to follow next, but I did when Louis Oosthuizen came off the course today. I was asking him about, he's got an academy, you know, in South Africa, and he's got hundreds of kids there, and the one chap who came through his academy is this very tall, 6'8" chap, who, the amateur who was leading after the first day.
Oh, that's fantastic. Tell us more.
Yeah. What on earth is his name? He's got a complex name, but
yes.
Beginning with an L.
Yes. Christo, his name is Christo Lamprecht.
That's the one. You should see him, 6'8", and he gets out his driver where everybody else would safely take an iron, and he swashes it. And yesterday, right in the neck of the woods on the fourth hole, and there were some flats behind, and I don't think they'd probably seen a golfer before that, the ones on the down floor, because he appeared on, you know, over the hills. And, you know, I don't think any golfer had ever been up there, and how it wasn't out of bounds, I don't know, but he's got a wonderful short game. I mean, his technique is unusual, but his short game is terrific, and he won our amateur championship recently, and Louis Oosthuizen is very proud of him, and he's got kids coming from all, you know, rural areas, and, you know, anybody can come to him. So it looks as though South Africa is really getting down to its golf now. You know, the black children are getting involved.
Yes.
Hopefully the black caddies are too, which
yes.
It really is making the game so much more exciting, because you don't want it to be just a game for rich people, do you?
No, you're right. Exactly. That's the whole point, you know. It's great. And Mark Rolfing, who was on right before you, he talked about Christo Lamprecht, and he said that, you know, the rules of golf are, here's this guy, 6'8", and he has to use a 46-inch driver. He can't use anything longer, which would be normal for a guy that tall. He wouldn't use this little tiny thing that he's got to, you know. And so he's got to drop down in an unnatural way, which you wouldn't see anybody else do. And that's why he has that unusual swing. That's wrong, don't you think?
The dip in everything. I think it's wrong, but this is what happened when Mickelson wanted and Chambeau wanted longer drivers to hit further, and they had to stop it somehow before. I think they were stopping it like they suddenly, you know, started worrying about the long putter and had to do something about that. But they didn't want these huge long drivers kept being introduced to the game, and so that's why the RNA acted. This was 2 years ago, I think, or maybe last year, and said that's the limit, 46.
Yeah, no, I
agree with you. It's not right.
Yeah, it's not right for somebody his stature to have to play with something so short. At the same time, I understand why the RNA and the USGA are concerned about the length the ball is going, and why they're, you know, they wanted to at least start with the driver and not give them that 48-inch advantage to just whip it. And goodness knows which county it would end up in. Yes, I'm sorry.
I was going to say that, you know, the amateurs, I saw the tallest chap in the UK, tallest golfer in the world, and he was something like, well, he was well over 7 feet. Now, he was allowed a longer driver. Now, I think if you're an amateur, you can have a longer club, but it's just if you're playing in pro tournaments, you can't. And I think one or two of the referees queried it this week to say, you know, is it fair that somebody of, you know, 5'6" is using the same length of, you know, is using a club that a 6'8" chap is using? You know, it's very odd, isn't it?
Yes, I would say no, it's not. no, it's not. But, you know, goodness gracious, can you see how many debates that go on over this game? Oh, you know, but a stature, when you're that tall, I would think it would be taken into consideration that the 46-inch is just not long enough
I agree. Have we got a moment or two to talk about Brian Harman?
Of course, please.
Okay, well, he didn't do himself any favors in this neck of the woods by talking about, you know, he's a great hunter, loves hunting. He comes from Savannah, I gather. But he was talking about how much he enjoyed his hunting, and he likes butchering. He adopts the highest standards when he's sort of dealing with this hobby, but that's not going to make people over here think, oh, well, that makes everything all right, you know, because I know in Edinburgh you can't kill a rat.
Really?
No, exactly. And you couldn't kill a, you wouldn't begin to kill a squirrel. You can't do these things.
Yeah.
So, you know, and because we're used to that, obviously they cull deer and things, but it's, you know, you don't want to see anybody boasting about it nowadays.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the point that you're making is really valid, and I, you know, tend to agree because I love animals with you. But at the same time, I think a lot of people need to be educated when they're in a different country to, you know, be more sensitive to where they're at and what their position is on things like what you're talking about. You know, that's... I'm surprised he, you know, started talking about butchering animals, during a golf tournament of the stature of the Open. It doesn't seem, it's a conflict. Somehow.
Well, in fairness to him, one of the media had gone back to how he talked about it somewhere else.
Oh.
And how when he'd had at the Masters and how when he'd had a bad round, he said he went home and I don't know whether he shot a turkey and a pig.
Oh.
Now, I'm very fond of pigs, and I don't know many turkeys, but things. I just think it's... I mean, surely, after he spoke about it at the Masters, somebody would have said, now, don't do that again, because if you go outside America, it's not understood, yeah. you know, that hunting can be okay in parts of America.
Yes, yes, well, you shouldn't take your emotions out on... innocent creatures. Oh dear. Oh dear. Thank you. But it's good to see Brian, you know, playing well. And John Rahm and Cameron Young and Sepp Straka and Victor Hovland. And as you said, the international flavor, Antoine Rosner and Jason Day and Shubhankar Sharman, Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy, how are you doing? Alex Fitzpatrick and his brother, Matt Fitzpatrick. I had no idea that the two of them were such good players that they'd end up, you know, I six positions apart. That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
It's absolutely incredible. I went and watched the end of Alex, the one who's actually better placed. He's the younger one.
Yeah, okay.
And Matt said to his parents, you just watch him because you've watched me lots of times. And this is, you know, he's... And Alex to be playing in the Open is so exciting for them. And they are speaking to the parents afterwards, and they said, we are so proud of him.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, so proud of both of them. And it's just lovely because they're very nice parents. Father was in banking. He's retired now. But he's still into figures, and he says he works out the world rankings and everything like that all the time. Can't stop himself. But...
Yeah,
but I think it's just a lovely family, absolutely lovely. And Billy Foster, who used to caddy for people like Sergio and Seve, says he's the nicest chap he's ever caddied for. He caddies for Matt, and Matt is just so genuinely polite and such a lovely person. And so it was interesting to hear Billy Foster saying that. He said that the toughest person he'd ever had to caddy for wasn't Thomas Bjorn, it wasn't Seve. It was Sergio.
Well,
so I was amazed at that because I know Sergio's a bit naughty, but, you know, he's got such a nice side to him.
He's a bit naughty. You know, sometimes emotions get the best of us. And I think that's when the, you know, a bit naughty comes out. But it was, that's cool to hear that Matt Fitzpatrick said, go watch Alex because, you know, you've watched me plenty of times. Now go watch Alex. And Alex being, okay, Alex shot a 74-70-65. And at this time is at, well, he's 10th because there's a lot of people tied for 5th, for instance. And then Matt is just right there. It's tied for 16th. He shot a 72-72-67. It's wonderful. I love it that those two brothers are in there together. And it's great talking with you, LeWynn Mayer, Global Golf Post, European senior writer for Global Golf Post. We need to get together again and talk about Tapping Feet, a double take on care homes and dementia, because so many of us at this time are dealing with our, you know, our kupuna, as our elders are called in Hawaii. And so many have dementia, Alzheimer's. And it's just incredible the number of people I've spoken with who have this problem. So this will be wonderful, and I'm looking forward to it. So tell me, you know, send me an email after the open. Let me know what date works for you. Are you still there? I think I've lost LeWynn.
No, I've just come back. But no, I just heard most of what you're thinking. I didn't think the Wi-Fi is terribly good here, but... No, that's lovely that you'll have me back, because I'll be able to tell you a few lovely letters I've had from people in golf telling me that the book, my book cheered them up a bit.
I'm glad to hear that. That's exactly what we need to hear. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. We're going to say aloha for now, and we're going to bring in Ryan French, writer, creator, Monday Q info, right after we take this break. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SciPac is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets. With the serenity that comes from having SciPac watching your network and infrastructure, you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at cypac.com. That's CYPAC.com.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair. Mold remediation. Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned.
Breaking news. If you've ever wondered how to improve your home's looks at a reasonable price, a beautiful new Rainer garage door may be perfect for you. By investing in a Rainer door, you will have a strong, quiet door to enjoy now and increase your home's value should you sell. Now is the best time to order your new Rainer door with the gorgeous looks you've been seeing on other homes. Improve your home. Call 676-3667 or visit HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com.
Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the break, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter? I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back in. We're going to completely switch it around, and we're going to go to the Barracuda Championship. Yes, we're going to the old Greenwood course. And Ryan French, writer and founder, Monday Q Info. You'll find him under Monday Q at Twitter and IG Instagram. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ryan.
Danielle, thank you so much. The reception is not great. I apologize about my late, but I just watched Joel Damon make another birdie, who's making a run up the leaderboard, so I apologize.
No problem. I totally understand. Things, you know, it's a golf event. You can't, and nothing can be scheduled. Now, everybody's not on the course yet. We've got the 9:45 still, Ryan Gerard and Patrick Rogers. And let's dial it back just a little bit and take a look at, you know, this is an event that uses the Stableford scoring. So why don't we explain first what Stableford scoring is for people who have forgotten?
Yeah, it is. You get 0 points for, it's a point system. You get 0 points for a par, 2 for a birdie, 5 for an eagle, and then you get -1 for a bogey, and -3 for double or worse. And in fact, right before I came on, I watched Andy Sullivan just pick up the ball because he was about to make a double, and it doesn't matter beyond double. So it's definitely a system that rewards some risk. If you make some eagles, you can rocket up the leaderboard. The person who has the best score is not necessarily going to win. It's often close, but it's a cool format, different than a normal stroke play.
And this is being played on the old Greenwood course. It opened in 2004. This is in Tahoe, Lake Tahoe area?
Yeah, it's just outside in Truckee, California, and just over the border. And, very cool area. Beautiful. It's hot today, but it's a great day.
6,000 feet above sea level, you say maybe the my ball will go further?
Yeah, 100%. You gotta. I've been lucky enough to caddy in this event the last few years, so it takes some mass at about 10 to 15%, depending on what kind of club you're hitting. So, yeah, you feel good when you leave places like this because you hit it so far.
It's exactly the message I wanted to get across. Go high, my friend.
Exactly right.
In fact, if you're playing at Makalei, which is on the slopes of one of our volcanoes, you might be, not quite high enough to get 10 to 15% further distance. But, and this is an event where, if you haven't heard, where's Bo Hosler, James Hahn, Justin Suh, Russell Knox, Chase Reavie, Eduardo Molinari, Martin Laird, they're all playing at this event. Tell us, you were talking, I think one of the things you mentioned, why would I care about the Barracuda Championship when everybody's got their eyes on the Open? Why?
Yeah, I always say, and there'll be some argument here, that it depends on who wins at the Open. If Brian Harman wins, then this argument kind of goes out the window. But if Rory wins, I would argue that someone winning for the first time would be more career-changing here than if Rory won another major. Colin Morikawa's first win was here at Barracuda. It gives guys a two-year exemption. A lot of the guys here are either struggling for the season or, have come over from the DP World Tour, and it's a great opportunity to be a PGA Tour member. And knowing you'd be able to keep your job for 2 years, and that's what you get if you win the Barracuda, and you get in the Tour Championship, you get in the Tournament of Champions, it is a huge, huge boost to guys that are here's playing career. So it is, it's very important.
Yeah, they can get coming to Maui to the Century Tournament of Champions. That is important.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yep. Free checks, no matter what you shoot, is good.
Yes. Ryan French is writer and founder of Monday Q. So what is Monday Q? Tell us what inspired you to do this.
Yeah, I'll try to keep the Cliff Notes version. 6 years ago, I was in the restaurant business, and my son had brain surgery, and I've always been a golf nerd, played college golf. And I started a Twitter account with no expectations, and somehow it's become my own media company, which is wild. So, yeah, I cover the non-top guys on the PGA Tour and below. Mini tours, guys, Corn Ferry Tour, Latin American Tour, those kind of things. So I think a lot of people see pro golf on TV and think that everything's great and people are all millionaires, and it's anything but that.
So, but tell us then, what makes a guy want to get into this really difficult game? It's hard enough being on the LPGA, trying to fly around the country, fly to international parts of the world to compete in the various tours, which is wonderful that the LPGA has such an incredible schedule and such a rich, diverse makeup. But it's equally hard for a guy to be, you know, in a mini tour or just trying to get their way into one of the tours that lead up to the PGA Tour. Why? Why take on this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of pros might question, both men and women might question themselves of why a lot. It's expensive. There's no guaranteed checks. It's outside of tennis, the only sport I know that if you play professionally, there's no guaranteed sport or no guaranteed check. And so, you know, it's not as glamorous as people think. That's all there is to it. It's expensive and time consuming. You're away from your family, and it can be very difficult at times. But at the end of the day, they get to play a professional sport, and the carrot of being a top player on the LPGA or the PGA Tour is too much for these guys to not keep chasing. So the payoff is great if you can make it. The fact of the matter is about 1% make it. But, yeah, I think it's the stories leading up to the top of the PGA Tour are what makes golf great to me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The support from the families and local businesses that support the guys.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of people. It costs about $75,000 a year to play a full mini tour schedule. Wow. And you're not going to make that money up. So you got to have support from people at the club or small companies or your family or whatever to make that work. Yeah, it's a tough business at the bottom.
And the families, of course, you're not with very much, and you certainly can't afford to take your wife or the kids. How many of these percentage, just generally speaking, have families that they're going off to?
On the PGA Tour, a lot. I actually was talking to Ryan Gerard, who's leading the Barracuda, and I saw him last night at the hotel we're staying at, and I said, who do you hang out with normally? He's like, not a lot of guys, because I'm a rookie and I don't have a family. So a lot of these guys have families, and they're away from them a lot. Not everybody, you know, everybody thinks that you can afford to have your family travel, but life goes on, especially as your kids get older and you have to be in school and activities and those kind of things. So it's hard for families to be away.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these guys are out here alone. That's all there is to it.
It's the love of the game. That's it.
And the, exactly.
Yeah. The drive. Tell us about Ryan Gerard.
Yeah, Ryan, 6 months ago, was at a Monday qualifier at the Honda Classic. Got through, finished fourth, got temporary exemption soon after that, and has been clawing his way to try to make it on the PGA Tour the rest of the year. So he's leading. He'll tee off here in a couple hours, and he has a huge opportunity ahead of him.
I like the quote. I take a lot of pride in the fact that when my back gets up against the wall, I usually perform pretty well, and that's something I aspire to be, is what people say is clutch. There is a certain kind of focus that you have to turn on when your legs are kind of shaking, but your hands are pretty steady over the putter.
Yeah, great quote. Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful quote and pretty accurate. I use a quote that a player told me that said, you got to be comfortable with feeling uncomfortable.
Wow. Wow. Cameron Champ, was he on the in this mini tour system?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys are. Most guys that you see on the PGA Tour, Joel Damon, just, you know, I just watched him for a couple of holes. He's a lot of these guys are products of the system.
Yeah. Well, he's got 3 PGA Tour wins, Cameron Champ, right?
Yep, exactly.
And he is not on the PGA Tour because he lost his positions?
No, he's on the PGA Tour, but he's just not eligible for the British Open.
And you don't have to follow people who are mean.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, good talking with you. Thank you so much
Thanks.
For being...
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, Ryan. Aloha. All right, we're going to come back. Diana DeLucia, my buddy, founder and editor-in-chief publisher, Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine and coffee table book. Golf Kitchen, it's expanding. There are more people involved after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Ivele. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Diana DeLucia, founder, editor-in-chief, and publisher of Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine and coffee table book. I've been saying that for so many years. In her first 5 years, she pulled all of this off. All of it. The magazine, the book, on her own, by herself. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle, and thank you for the support there. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So tell us what's changed.
Well, we had some challenges during 2022 in the pandemic years, and I just realized I can't be a control freak anymore. So I needed to, reach out to some other people, and I found some great new team members with Karen Morgan from Hunter PR, who's well known in the golf industry, Chris Bartlett and Gary Doyens from Gem Advertising out of Connecticut. So I'm super excited. We've got a couple of new writers that are experienced food writers, and I'm just can't wait for them to send that file to print. It's in pre-press right now, and then we'll be quarterly again. Which was hard during the pandemic, because if you remember, we just had so many problems with supply chain issues, and I ended up going down to 2 issues a year. But now we've got this whole great team, so we've got PR and we've got advertising, and gives me more time for my big events that I want to go back to producing.
Yes, that's Golf Kitchen Invitational, Golf Kitchen Culinary Awards Dinner at Glen Arbor, usually. I don't know if it, you'll maybe scholarship program at the Culinary Institute of America. All of these things you did solo. I mean, you got to understand, you personally have to understand how amazing you are. Have you internalized that yet?
I'm trying to. I really am trying to, come to grips with that, because, as a female, you kind of tend to be a little bit not as out there, a little bit not as confident. But, I'm really proud of everything we've achieved, and I'm really super thankful and proud of all the properties that have stood by me during that pandemic years, because they were not easy to get through. But, hey, we got there. We have a new team, and We've announced the new dates for the Golf Kitchen Invitational and the Culinary Excellence Awards, and the new date is going to be April 23rd, 2024. Already getting a lot of clubs interested and committed. So we've got a full field, 18 teams. The plan is 18 clubs and members and their executive chef or their sous chef, whichever one plays golf. We want to get the chefs out there playing.
That's wonderful.
With the team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm excited about it because we're going to have so many chefs on property. It'll be like incredible because we're going to have chefs from clubs cooking, chef from clubs playing, and chefs on the golf course cooking. So it's just going to be a massive event.
You know, it's so exciting, all the things that are coming up and how you've got the philanthropy issue coming out, the first tee involved, clubs help. Eagles for birdies, the Barenberg Invitational. We're going to Bob Herrig from Sports Illustrated. They're about to wrap up, not right away, but he's kind of like trying to chase the guys coming in. So we're going to switch a little bit around here, and we're going to go to Bob and then come back to Diana and finish up and how you can get involved in Golf Kitchen. So stand by, Diana. Bob Herrig, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. Bob Herrig is senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated, author of Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, Golf Writers Association of America, and he went to Indiana University on an Evans Scholarship. All right, that's all about caddies. You know, if you're a caddy, if you know somebody who's a caddy and wants to go into Indiana University, one of the schools, Evans Scholarship. So you're at the 2023 Open Championship at the there's a brand new par 3 17th at Royal Liverpool. What's that brand new par 3 17th like?
It's not really like the other holes on the course, which I think is why it's caused some controversy. It doesn't like really fit in quite the same way. Like there's no other greens that are really like it in terms of how high they are from the rest of the ground. It's a short hole, and I mean like today it's playing 120. So it's not like, you know, they're hitting a 5-iron in there. But it's just still not that easy of a green to hit. If you're not kind of in the middle, it's going to roll off, and that's why it's caused some issues. But, you know, today, despite the forecast for a lot of rain, it's been fairly calm, and it hasn't been raining all day, and that hole isn't quite as stout as it had been the first couple of days. With the wind blowing, that's a hard hole. You're not seeing so many disasters today. Guys are just, you know, they're just playing for the middle of the green. They're not going at the pin, which is probably the smart way to go at it.
Yeah, kind of the way you would approach a turtleback kind of green.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's basically kind of what it is, frankly. It's, you know, it, like if you're hitting it on the edge, you're not going to stay on, you know. And, I mean, I guess that's fine for a par three. It just seems a little severe. But, again, look, everybody has to play it. It's a short iron in. It requires a really, really precise shot. But I think the problem that they have with it is there's a lot of luck involved. Like if you miss the green and it goes into one of these big pot bunkers, that seems an unfair result. Or, you know, certainly if you hit the green, it rolls off into it. So we'll see. You know, I understand the members here absolutely hate the hole. It's too hard for the average guy. So, you know, they just don't even want to deal with it. But, you know, let's see tomorrow if it causes some drama, you know, coming down the stretch when you really need to hit a shot.
Yeah, well, Lucas Herbert, you know, triple bogey six during the first round, you know, and then I guess Travis Smythe, did he get a hole in one on that hole?
He did. Yeah, he did yesterday. He missed the cut, but he still he knocked it in there. I mean, I guess that's the best thing to do, knock it in.
Yes.
But, yeah, you know, and it's today it seems like it's not causing the distress that it did earlier. It's still not really a birdie hole, but it's a, you know, for such a short hole, but it's not proving to be quite as strenuous as it was the first 2 days, when really the wind was more of a factor.
Yeah, so I guess they've gotten their weather forecasting, and it's difficult. It's an island, bottom line, right, to get it right all the time. But it hasn't been what they expected, right?
No, I mean, today the forecast called for basically rain all day. It was like, if you look by the hourly thing, it was 60, 70, 80, 90%, like, throughout the day. Like, in other words, the feeling was it was just going to rain from the first tee time on. And it really hasn't been that way. It was raining this morning, rained a good bit. It was raining when the first groups went out at 9 a.m. local time. And then kind of late morning, it stopped. And once it stopped, now the course has gotten wet. It's softened a little bit. There's no wind. You know, John Rahm went out and shot 63. He played a good bit of the round in shirt sleeves without a jacket or a rain jacket. There's been some intermittent showers here and there. But like, I'm watching Jason Day hit on 18 right now. He doesn't have a jacket on. It's probably like really nice. I would say very nice conditions to be playing golf in right now. If we were out there playing, we'd probably be very comfortable. So, you know, you want it to be a little uncomfortable, frankly. We want the wind to blow. If it's not going to be hot, then we want it to be cold. You know, we want them to be, it's funny how major championships are. We want them to suffer a little bit. And they've not really had to do that today. So we'll see what the weather forecast is for tomorrow, if it changes any. You know, I mean, Brian Harmon's going to have a fairly decent sized lead here. And, you know, weather is the one thing that can really put a change into all that.
Yeah, it's amazing that, I mean, John Rahm with his 63 shot up 36 positions. It's really something to, you know, and it is it's the Open. It's the Open, and it's supposed to be the hardest because, you know, the wind is, and it's supposed to be sandblasting them. and it's just not. And that's, you know, we're all good with that. But what happened with Shane Lowry? I saw a picture of a snapped club.
Yeah, I don't know what the exact reason for that was, other than just, you know, general frustration.
Yeah.
It might have been in relation to, I think he hit one out of bounds on 18. 18's a little controversial. They've played it this way all the time, but it's got internal out of bounds. So, you know, there's out of bounds to the right, even though there's land there and it's on the property. So it's a little bit odd. It's like something that happens over here more than we see. You know, out of bounds usually typically means you're off the property, like you're in somebody's yard or you know, you're just at the boundary of the course. And here it's an inner part of the course, but it's out of bounds because they have a lot of structures over there, hospitality, things like that. You know, when that's not here, that's the members' driving range.
Okay.
And so I could see why they would want that to be out of bounds for that too. They don't want you hitting it into the driving range.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit awkward. And, but yet on the other hand, there's plenty of room to the left. You know, you just, obviously there's a lot of rough, and then the first fairway is way over there. So it's not like you don't have any place to hit it. But there's, you know, there's been Tyrrell Hatton hit two OB yesterday on that hole and made a nine. You know, there's a bunch of guys that have made some numbers on the 18th hole this week because of that OB.
Wow. Well, you know, he also didn't make the cut. So, you know, I thought maybe he just walked off the course and snapped a club just to say, you know, it's you. We like to blame everything on it, the club. So yeah, Phil Mickelson, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, Tony Finau, Sam Burns, Shane Lowry, Keegan Bradley, to name a few, did not make the cut. And just your thoughts. I know we have to keep this kind of short for you, but Justin Thomas, have you had a chance to chat with him since he didn't make the cut? Poor guy.
I did not. A few did. He's obviously very frustrated. He missed a cut in three of the four majors this year.
Yeah.
And he finished 55th at the PGA, where he was the defending champion.
Yeah.
And he hasn't won since the PGA last year. And, you know, a few months ago, he seemed to be close to turning the corner.
Yeah.
You know, he was giving himself chances. And all of a sudden here lately, I mean, you know, he didn't play great at the PGA. Shot 81 at the Masters, and then, at the U.S. Open, he shot 82 in the first round here, his highest ever score, in a major, and just seems to be a bit lost right now. You know, he's put himself in some peril. He's outside of the top 70, and that's what makes the PGA Tour's playoffs in a couple of weeks. You know, something unthinkable.
You
know, he is, and unthinkable too is the fact that, you know, would he not be part of the Ryder Cup team? It's possible. You know, I mean, he's if you don't make the playoffs, can you be on the Ryder Cup team? I mean, it's a lot of events to miss.
Yep.
Leading into the Ryder Cup, and his putting hasn't been great, which you really need to be good over there. I mean, before this tournament, I would have said he was going to get a pick anyway. But I was also expecting him to show a little bit more and get to the playoffs. Now I think it's kind of up in the air, you know. And so that's, you know, we're talking about a guy who's got two majors and 15 wins. And, you know, we're all thinking he's well on his way to 20-plus wins in his career. And he's going through a spell right now. And it's, you know, it's frankly, it's a bit shocking.
It is shocking, and I hope he gets it together because he's so much fun to watch. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated. It's actually a morning read. That is Sports Illustrated golf section. So it's all golf in morning read, Sports Illustrated. Thanks so much, and have a great rest of the weekend. I don't envy you. I wish I were there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Aloha, Bob.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Now let's get straight back to Diana DeLucia. Diana, when you have your tournaments, welcome back in.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for waiting. It was really cool.
Hey, Bob tells a great, he does a great interview.
Isn't he wonderful?
He's a great guy.
He is a great guy. We should invite him to the Golf Kitchen Invitational.
I think so.
Yes. Because he's really good. He was a caddy. And but I digress. My goodness. Golf Kitchen Invitational. Tell us about, this is one of the big events that Golf Kitchen, the magazine, it's a semi-annual magazine, but it's going to be quarterly now. Is that what you said?
Yeah, we're going back to quarterly now with the new team. So I'm going to have a lot more time on my hands to focus on, you know, going back to the raising money for the scholarships. I had a conversation with CIA last week, so they're very happy about that. And
Excellent.
Then doing some, like, interesting things with one of the auction companies. I'm acquiring a Johnny Depp print signed and autographed. That's going to be announced soon.
Wow.
I had a fundraiser and a bunch of chefs and even some golf pros donated to it. And I think I've got about $300 left to raise. And we acquire that print for auction for the CIA to put future club chefs through culinary school.
Wow. See, all the stuff you do, it needs to be published more somewhere, publicized. You know?
Well, that will be. We changed the date of the Invitational and the awards event. And it was just September wasn't giving clubs in the Northeast the opportunity to participate because it's right in the middle of their season.
Right.
So I thought, okay, I spoke to the club and thought, what about April? That's when we used to do the Punta Mita event. It was always, you know, that week in April, and everyone was able to go. So let's make it the opening event, one of the opening events of the season, where everyone's dying to play golf again in the Northeast.
Yes.
So, you know, I think we can, got some really good interest in clubs, in sponsorships. I think we're going to do really well, especially with me having my time freed up.
Yeah, and so the Golf Kitchen Invitational and the Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards, which are fabulous, will be on April 23rd, 2024.
Yes.
Awesome. And we're,
and it gives us a good 9-10 months for promotion and all of that.
And where were they? Where are you going to hold them?
Glen Arbor Golf Club.
It's going to be Glen Arbor. Oh, I love Glen Arbor.
Yes, my goodness. I don't ever want to move it from Glen Arbor.
It's wonderful.
Unless we do an international one, obviously, because I'd like to do some internationally as well and then kind of, you know, grow and develop it like that.
Yeah, like Morocco.
Yeah, we'll have these big culinary soirees with chefs from all over the world playing golf and cooking for everybody. I mean, what could be nicer?
I know. Just
And in such a time, you know, where there's so much negativity in the world, we need fun things, like, you know.
Yes.
Fun things. They need to report about some fun tournaments, and I just think this is a great opportunity.
Yeah. It's like Sam Choi used to have the Sam Choi tournament on Hawaii Island, the big island here, the biggest one where the volcanoes are. And at every hole, there would be some poke, you know, or something that he had made up for. And people just ate and played and ate and played and ate and played. It was, you know, it's a Sam Choi poke shootout. It was amazing. It was fun. And everybody had a good time.
Well, maybe we can get you over.
Oh, I would.
Maybe we need to get you over, and one of the clubs in Hawaii should be playing in the tournament with their chef.
Oh, I like that. Is anybody listening?
Yeah, is anybody listening? Come on, you need to come and join the competition.
Yeah, that's great. And Glen Arbor is beautiful. See, it's worth the trip. So let me just say we are, yes. I am just so excited with the first tee and clubs help. And what's Eagles for Birdies?
That is another organization that is raising money for children. Actually, my partner, Karen Morgan, put that story together with the help of Clubs Help. They, from my understanding, they do a lot for children in the industry that can't play golf. And don't quote me on all of that because I'm not the authority on Eagles for Birdies, but from my understanding, they do work with Clubs Help a lot. But it was actually Karen's idea to have a philanthropy edition because the industry does give back more than any other sport in the country, and it raises more money than any other sport in the country. And there's so many golf-focused charities, and they just give back. And we felt that highlighting that, you know, is a worthwhile thing to do.
Yes, I'd love to have somebody on to talk about that. That would be great.
Yeah.
Ask Karen.
I will actually organize that for you. Yeah.
That would be great. And we are KORL, Y and I, Honolulu. So the first tee, how do you have the first tee involved?
Okay, so the National Golf Course Restaurant Association had connected with me via Tori Uhlenfield. I think she's the director of clubs for their organization and on the culinary side. And she was telling me about TPC Sawgrass and how they have this event every year called The Taste of Golf, and it benefits the first tee. So I suggested we do a cover story, and I went down to the event, which was in, you know, the end of April, and then we shot all the chefs and did something a bit different than we usually do, and we added all 11 chefs on the cover that were cooking at the event, and then we wrote it's like a 9 or 10 page story on the event itself. Talks about Tori's career and how closely she is affiliated with the chef, because she is a chef herself. So, you know, we wanted to highlight that first tee because they are an amazing organization in the industry, and I think that's a beautiful story. It's a feel good piece as well. And then we have the Berenberg Invitational, that's also at Glen Arbor every year in October, who raised so much money to find a cure for pancreatic cancer. And that is, you know, it used to be the Gary Player Invitational, and now they've changed it to the Berenberg Invitational, and they're just trying to raise money for the Nebraska Pancreas Hospital of Excellence. So that one pulls my heartstrings because it's extremely emotional.
Yes.
You know, what they are doing there is just unbelievable. If you can get a copy, read it. You guys are all on our distribution list now forevermore. So you'll be getting your copy. And
I
want you to read that story.
Well, I want to do it. I want to feature somebody from, the Nebraska. What was that again? I was trying to write that down.
I think it's the Nebraska Hospital for Excellence.
Okay, excellent. You know, because everybody thinks everything can be cured nowadays, right? It used to be that if you got cancer, it was a death sentence. There was nothing that could be done. And now there are so many different therapies you go through some very difficult periods, but you're going to live. Or you can get a new lung or whatever it happens to be. But when it comes to pancreatic cancer, it's like that is almost a death sentence because you don't discover it until stage 4. And so, you know, to know that there's a place where they're really working on that last of the cancers, that to be able to catch that one. And Berenberg Invitational, where is that played?
That's played at Glen Arbor Golf Club as well.
Also Glen Arbor. Awesome. I know a lot of people.
Yeah, every year. I think like it was in its 20th year as the Gary Player Invitational. And then I know Gary's wife had passed away from pancreatic cancer.
Got it.
And, you know, so there was a change. I mean, I went to the event last year and, you know, at the press conference, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. I just thinking about it right now, I start to well up. So
yeah.
they really, really have made a difference. And the doctor, professor and physician that's in charge of that unit, it's an interview with him personally, how he feels about the hospital and how it all came about. And I just think it would be so beneficial if people would just grab, you know, subscribe, look at the digital magazine or, you know, read it once it's released, because, you know, those pieces are super important in the industry.
And that would be at golfkitchen.com?
Yeah. We'll be announcing when you can subscribe or buy magazines in the coming, maybe in the next 7 days.
Okay. All right. Well, you'll have to be back.
There'll be a few changes.
Yeah. Okay.
But just remember with that Nebraska piece, you know, that doctor aim to find the cure within 5 to 10 years. That is their goal.
Of course.
They're going all out to do that.
How is Gary Player?
Oh, I actually spoke to him that day. He's just such a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
He's like so graceful. You know, he's one of the things he said to me is that, you know, you are what you put into your body. And he said, look, if I eat this today, that's going to shave one day off my life. So I've got to make up for that the next day.
Wow.
You know, and he's really into health, you know.
Yes.
He's all about longevity and, you know, healthy eating. And, you know, he just seems like such a nice person.
He is. He's very gracious. He's very, he's just wonderful. That's all there is to it. I remember bumping into him on Maui. I think it was a senior skins game. And he is so solid. He's like a tree. He didn't
look. Yeah, I know. And I'm not even into the golf. I'm talking to him about food.
Yes.
So it's probably a different conversation, you know. He's talking about, he doesn't like any white bread products. Do not eat white bread. It's no good for you.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, of course. Of course. Diana DeLucia, so good connecting again. You sound so good. It's great talking with you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And we'll hear more about your events and what we can do to get involved. Diana DeLucia, award-winning food photographer, author, writer, founder, Golf Kitchen. Thanks for being inside the clubhouse with me.
Aloha, Danielle, and everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Aloha. So we want to thank the people who make this show possible. And they are Aloha Power Equipment. They have their new megastore. It's next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava in Ivile. We put power at your fingertips. You know that, right? Aloha Power Equipment. And it's hurricane season. So we need to prepare to be ready. Because, you know, if you're prepared, you don't have to worry about something. You have to dash. Do you remember when Lane was coming and there was nothing on the store shelves the last couple of days before? I mean, I think I'm still suffering from shock. Talk with the folks at Aloha Power Equipment. They'll get you ready. A generator, if the power goes out for days, you'll want that. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. MD Restoration, whether it's a flood from the inside or the outside, flood or fire disaster, you need help immediately. MD Restoration is on it anytime, day, night. Call them if disaster strikes your home or your office. Call MD Restoration, licensed contractors. They'll do the cleanup and then they can do the repair. 528-3434. That's a number you want to have handy. Rainer Garage Doors. Yes, a beautiful look, maximum security. Another number you want to have handy. 676-3667. So you can give them a call right away. Get that quiet door. Beautiful. Go to HawaiiDoor.com and you can see all the different designs and find one that'll fit your home perfectly so that when you go drive in, it's your first safety zone. We're honored to have the support. Aloha Section PGA, thank you so much. Our great PGAs taking a lot of time and love of the game of golf to become a PGA. Then they want to share their knowledge because they're just brimming with this. How can I help you? They're just like that. How can I help you? They want to share their knowledge with you. So if you'd like to get better at this game, just call the Aloha Section, or you can call the golf course close to you and ask, do you have a PGA on staff? Because I would love to take a lesson. CyPack for cybersecurity, for your company, for your organization. They're an elite group of cyber specialists here in Hawaii, providing the deepest level of protection anywhere. Call 808-861-9595. Online, CyPack.com. Last weekend, we were talking with CyPack about how, you know, sometimes kids will download something and they don't realize that it can have an attachment. And that attachment can then get on their computer. And then who knows? You know, sometimes they're playing on your computer and they might download something. I know they're not supposed to, but they don't think of the dangers of the, you know, the things that can get onto your computer and all of a sudden stuff is missing, like money from your account. CyPack, cybersecurity. Their number is 861-9595. And if you have no idea what to get a friend who seems to have everything, give them a Poipu Bay gift certificate. They will love playing at Poipu Bay. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.